Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for listening as I continue my series of interviews with different professionals from around the nation. Each broadcast is sponsored by the website www.landthink.com, a great resource that serves all your land needs. I encourage you to return to each broadcast so you can continue to grow your knowledge about land. This broadcast is the only place on the on the internet where you will experience the very best insights about the depth and breadth of vacant land. I'm Russell Ward, your host. I'm a full-time land investor and author of Vacant Land Guide, How to Buy Vacant Land at Wholesale Prices. My turnkey program teaches you the secrets of owning your own land business where you don't have to use your own money, and my process is very, very easy to learn. So if you have any questions or comments during this broadcast, you can use the live chat feature on your computer screen. We'd love to hear from you. Today I've invited Joe Andahazy to be a part of today's broadcast. Joe is an independent real estate financing consultant, and he's located in Washington, D.C. Well, so Joe, thanks for joining me.
Russell, thank you very much for the opportunity to spend a few minutes with you on your Blog Talk Radio, and hopefully we can disseminate some good information for your listeners, and again, I just really am glad for the opportunity to be here.
Sure, sure, absolutely, and what I try to do, Joe, is I try to bring people on board to chat with that really I feel like they have some cutting-edge information, and so I deem you in that category. And so what we want to talk about first, that I think the listeners want to understand specifically, what is a real estate financing consultant? So why don't you give us the lowdown on that?
Well, it's probably a real elaborate way of calling me a loan officer, which is, if you go back to my roots, that's where I started, as just being a residential loan officer, financing and refinancing homes in the Washington, D.C. area. And, back in the heyday when rates were low, which they are now, but when appraisals were going through the roof and all that, we were just, pushing paper, if you will, the traditional type of, applications and disclosures that you would normally get when you're refinancing a home from a bank or mortgage company. And, from that I grew into, what other kind of lending could I do? So I started to get involved with commercial loans, and then that led me to a lot of new types of banks and new types of people in the lending arena for commercial properties. And then also a part of that was also learning the private investing and private money lending for either commercial or residential opportunities. And what I found along the way is that as I grew into the different lending environments, I discovered that the application, if you will, or the applying for the money that you need to finance your property always seemed to be evolving and changing, and the requirements were never the same depending on the investor or the lender you're using. So I made a study of the whole process of, how could somebody posture themselves favorably when they're faced with a certain type of investor or lender. And so therefore, the sort of the title loan officer grew into being a consultant for borrowers who would come to me and say, look, we wanted to finance a large piece of parcel of land or a large commercial property, and then they just didn't know how to apply for the loan. And, I found when you're going after large sums of money, the standard forms that you would get at the bank you typically don't apply. I mean, yes, they're required, but it's such a minute part of the application. There's more to it when packaging your loan. Again, as each application came through, as the borrowers came to me from different areas looking to buy certain properties, I found that the requirements would change because the properties are different, the borrowers are different, the investors are different. You have to make sure you can package them, again, as I said, favorably so that they can capture the capital they need to finance their real estate. So in a way, I consult with them at first, and usually borrowers don't have the resources, or I should say that one person on their team other than their accountant, which is there, that can provide us with documents. But there's nobody on their team, per se, that could help them put together this loan package. And so, therefore, I started this sort of the consulting practice where people will retain my services to work with them, and so that I can package their requirement. And I found that, you know, even though they have all the good intentions, they just don't have the knowledge and the time and the resources. So it's worked out well to bring me in on their team to put together a loan package for them. So that's how I evolved from a loan officer into a loan consultant.
Well, now banks have loan officers. Are you saying that the loan officers at the banks are not as passionate as you about getting all the paperwork done correctly? I mean, isn't that kind of their role to make sure that all the information is submitted correctly? Why would there be a need for you then?
That's absolutely correct. The loan officers at that bank know how to do it their way for that bank, for that specific application. And some banks will only finance certain kinds of properties. And so, therefore, when somebody is looking for especially a large sum of money and they have to go outside the circle of influence, we may have to go out and broker this to different either private investors or companies or hedge funds or insurance companies. There's many, many sources of capital available. It's how do we find the source of capital for this specific application, and therefore the traditional bank loan officer may have that capability, but I found that most bank loan officers just know what's happening in the bank. And I've kind of stepped out of that arena and sort of captured under an umbrella of a litany of lenders and investors, whether they be private or corporate investors. And so I spent a lot of time up front with the borrowers, getting to know them, getting to know what they're trying to do, what are the goals, how much money are they looking for, what are we financing, and then therefore putting together a package that I feel would be directed in an environment so that investors could now read it quickly, especially in the executive summary, and then respond favorably so that we can then disseminate the loan package in phases out to them so that they understand what we're doing. It's a very methodical process we use. And again, it's a reflection on the borrower. I mean, most investors, if somebody's going to borrow $5 million to capture a piece of ground somewhere, if we can show that the documents coming in, starting from the executive summary already into the data sheets with the financials and then finally with the phase one environmentals if they're required, a lender will see that this is coming to them in such a fashion that it's a reflection of the borrowers. I mean, what's the rule? You know, 90% of selling and buying something is presentation. So I'm a very big fan of presentation, and I think the investors like it as well. So that's really what we provide.
Okay. Now, I mean, I'm fascinated by what you do, but I think, you know, you've differentiated yourself from someone like a bank loan officer who is at one specific lending institution. So how would you be different than a mortgage broker then?
The fact that I could take the same application, if you will, or the same loan package and tailor it to different sources of capital. So that's, you know, I kind of like being the out here in the and having such a view of different networking groups that I belong to, who are seeking opportunities, investment opportunities. So they are looking for opportunities to invest their money, and so therefore I have the ability to find certain investors who have the capital to certain programs. So I guess I'm not too sure if that answers your question.
Well, do you have different outlets than a traditional mortgage broker would have? Because they represent like multiple lenders, and they kind of decide who's going to take your loan. In your situation, you're more of a consultant, and you're looking at maybe different arenas than maybe a traditional mortgage broker might look at.
Well, let me add one more thing, and that is you'll have loan officers who are actual brokers as well, and yes, they may say to a client, okay, send me your tax returns, send me your asset statements, send me your pay stubs, pay me, you know, send me here's the list of requirements that I need along with all that, and you know, please sign these disclosures, and they leave it at that. And what I found was, you know, most of in the very beginning, by the way, too, I was doing that. I was, you know, sending out a litany of things that I need. And what I got back was half of what I had requested, or it wasn't filled out all the way, or, you know, I found that a lot of individuals need hand-holding. And so I found that if I got involved early with the borrowers and worked with them, either at their place of the business or, you know, online, I'm very active. You know, once I get involved with a loan application, I'm very active on a daily basis with the client to make sure I have everything. And that's the whole key, is to make sure you have everything. You don't want to submit documents to an investor if they're, again, half filled out or just not all there or incomplete, or you have part of the tax returns and not all the tax returns. So, you know, I'm a stickler for documentation and make sure it's done correctly and make sure it's processed right and it's current. And, you know, because I don't want to waste their time or my time or the investor's time if I can't submit something that's going to look good, it's going to, you know, give the borrower an opportunity to capture the financing that they need.
Okay. Well, that makes perfect sense to me. I think that, you know, what I'm hearing you say is that I guess the question I have that kind of came out of what you're saying, are you saying that most people who apply for loans don't fill out the paperwork correctly?
I would say 80% of them don't know how to. It's not that they don't want to. Some of them, they just don't know how. They're, you know, loan applications sometimes, and especially now since the lending environment has changed quite a bit because of the, you know, the downfall, the prime, subprime business, you know, a lot of the loan applications have become more complex, more comprehensive, and it's not so much that they don't want to, it's just they don't know how. They're afraid of filling out something if they don't fill it out right. So, you know, I would say this, you know, most loan officers or most, you know, lending representatives of banks, if they're really good, they're going to take care of their clients for them. They'll get them on the phone and possibly do it online while they're on the phone and fill it out for them, and that's very important. What I'm trying to say here is, you know, whether you're trying to finance land or some type of business that's going to, you know, where you're trying to capture 100 acres or 200 acres or whatever, you're going to build a business on it or have some type of agricultural entity operating on it, some cash flowing business. When you're going out to finance that, you know, you've got to make sure you have everything together. I mean, it starts from the executive summary, as I mentioned before. The executive.
Okay.
Summary.
And by the way, for some listeners, they may not know what an executive summary is. Why don't you tell us what's an executive summary?
Well, it's sort of the you know, the 3-minute elevator speech. You know, again, investors and lenders are busy people nowadays because rates are low. And you only have a short period to capture the attention, especially if you're going after a large sum of money. So an executive summary, and you can go online and find several definitions of it, but basically what works in our business is a two-page document where the first page does nothing but describe the property, describes the borrowers in general. It's a sort of a snapshot of who they are and what the property is, whether it's a cash-flowing business or entity or whether it's just raw land. And maybe there might be a small photograph of the actual building or the land itself. And then page two would be sort of like a data sheet. You know, this is where you will list the actual dollar amount you're trying to borrow. You'll list the terms that you're looking for. You list the any fees that you think that would be acceptable to you. And any type of, you know, hard data that captures, like, for instance, tax assessments, you know, what the land values are. If there's an appraisal, you can say appraised value is. So it kind of gives the investor who's looking at this for the first time a quick snapshot of, okay, they see the property, they can get a general idea about who the borrowers are, and then here's the kind of terms the borrowers are looking for, and loan to value and that sort of thing. And that's it.
Okay. Well, what I'm kind of hearing you say in the midst of that, if I may interject here for a moment, is that we're in a new lending environment. And say this institution is willing to loan $2 million, but they see one loan package without an executive summary and one with an executive summary. And so right out of the gate, they would probably lean towards the one that has the executive summary. Would that be correct?
Oh, well, absolutely. If somebody is receiving a folder, it's a loan package, they open it up, and right away the first page is most current tax returns. They're going to be saying, what am I looking at here? Somebody who is on the loan committee, if you will, at a lending institution, they want to know real quickly, what are we dealing with here? What is this folder showing me? And
right.
They open it up and it says executive summary, and they could read a few paragraphs, maybe a small photograph, and then turn to page two. It gives the loan amount, the terms we're looking for. A couple of bits of information about whether there's an appraised value or not, or what the loan to value is. And then a small, at the very end of this page too, would be maybe one or two, or maybe three possibilities of an exit strategy. Most lenders want to know, how are we going to be taken out, especially if you're going after private money. If this is a piece of land that a bank will not finance, or will not finance, and now you have to go after some private investors who may have an interest in the area. And private investors like to lend money in their own backyard. So if you're going after trying to buy 1,200 acres in South Carolina, and the borrower has some issues and cannot get traditional financing, and you have to go after private money for them, then private investor in South Carolina may be your best opportunity to go after, because again, they may like to. They want to lend money in their own backyard, and if they have to take over the property, then they're now they're taking over a piece of ground that's in their home state or close to where they reside. But in that, again, that's where exit strategy comes in. Most lending institutions, like banks, they're willing to go 10, 15, 20 years on a term. But a private investor, typically, they don't want to go more than 2 years. And most people who get a loan from a private investor don't want to stay in their loans for 2 years because their rates are higher and their fees are higher. However, it's a way of bridging themselves into the property. They can capture it, and then while they fix whatever they need to fix during that time, whether it's credit, whether it's better buildup of assets or more cash flow, they can fix those elements. And then they can now take that equation into a traditional lender and buy out the investor's loan.
Ah, that's an excellent comment. Now, let's kind of back up to a couple of things that you comment that you've been saying. I think one of the things I'm hearing you say in the midst of that is the average investor doesn't really know how to write an executive summary. And what I'm hearing you say is that the executive summary is actually, in this new lending environment, is becoming a critical component of a package. Would that be a correct assessment?
It is if you're going after non-traditional financing.
Okay.
I'll tell you this. If you qualify for traditional financing, which the definition of traditional financing is you've got good credit, you have good assets, you got good income, you can now go into a bank and a loan officer sit there and fill out the forms for you, and it meets their lending department's criteria. The executive summary is going to be probably written by the loan officer, and then the borrower doesn't really get involved much with that. But when you're going after non-traditional financing, because you have some issues of not qualifying for traditional financing, then it becomes very important. When I have to present a loan package to three or four investors that are sitting around the table, and they're saying, okay, Joe, what do we have here? And I hand them two sheets of paper. And usually I hand them two sheets of paper before we even sit down, and they know what we're doing. I typically will fax it to them, or I'll email it to them and say, okay, when we meet Tuesday night, here's going to be the opportunity. And then they come back with their thoughts right away. But, I'm not sending them 92 sheets of paper with tax returns and financials, and they don't want to see that. They just want to know what they're dealing with at first.
Sure.
That's very important to, just like anything else. I mean, you're sitting in front of group of venture capital people, you've got 10 minutes to wow them. If not, it's going to be, it's like the gong show. They're going to bring out the hook and say, what's next?
Now, you said before that 80%, about 80% of the people that apply for loans don't fill out the paperwork correctly. So even if someone was pursuing a traditional loan, wouldn't you still recommend that they come to you and you help them put that package together instead of them just trying to go directly to the loan officer?
Well, they can, and I would recommend that, you know, first of all, they should go to someone like me who's been around for a long time, and so that they can understand.
No, they should go to you, not someone like you. They should go to you.
They can come to me.
Right.
You know, I'm all about sharing the good stuff here. But
I understand. I understand.
They should go to someone like me, or they can, I can work with them. I can listen to their story. I can take copious notes, and then I can come up with some ideas, give them some options. Because before you start flooding a financial institution or a group of investors or insurance company with a myriad of paperwork and documents and executive summaries, I need to find out from them what they're trying to do. Now, I work with all kinds of borrowers, even borrowers with great cash flow assets and income and good credit, but they just can't get a loan fast enough. Sometimes it's a matter of they have to capture a piece of ground or building like real fast. I mean, they have an opportunity to buy it within 2 weeks. They need to get together, you know, $1 million, $2 million for just to bridge them in there. And
okay.
We have investors that'll do that sort of thing. So it's and okay. Banks won't do that. They won't operate that fast.
Gotcha. I gotcha. That makes sense. That makes sense. So I mean, really, what you're also saying is that there is money out there. It's just that maybe you need to package the loan or the presentation a little differently, given this lending environment. Is that right?
Yes, I would say in the heyday of 2001 to 2005, when the value of property was going up, and people who had less qualifying attributes were capturing money to, you know, it leveraged up pretty high, 80-90%, even higher on residential loans. They didn't ask a whole lot of questions. You could state your income. You didn't have to have the best credit. They'd finance 100% even on some of those loans, and that's what really brought down the mortgage industry. Was the people just did not qualify. They put them in at low start rates. Within 2 years, the rates popped up, 2 to 5 points right away. And then it was like, hey, I can't pay this loan, and now they had all these defaults. So the requirements, and even in the private and commercial lending back then for land, even. You didn't have to qualify as much because why? Somebody else would come around and buy it or refinance out of it. They weren't worried about it. If the lending institution had to recapture and take back the property, they could put it up for sale within weeks, and somebody would come along and buy it. Some developer would buy it. So, I mean, it was nuts. But nowadays,
right.
When even though there may be some stimulus money out there trickling down from the government. What I'm finding out in the sort of the global underwriting of something, they're holding their money close to their vest. It's just this way it is. You have to have a cleaner package. You have to have more detail. They're having desk reviews on appraisals now, so you can have an appraisal submitted, and now when instead of them just looking at the bottom line of the value of the property, they're taking it to an appraisal review committee now, so they can tear it apart to make sure that they're actually accepting something that they feel that is the value has been substantiated. So I wanted to kind of go through real quick some of the things that that is in a loan package when you're going after some exceptional amount of money.
Sure, idea. Let's do that.
You know, again, the loan, if you're going to go after an exceptional amount of money for a comprehensive purchase, whether it be a commercial building or land, then the loan package should include, obviously, the executive summary, which we just talked about. Again, personal financial statements from all the borrowers. This would mean 3 years tax returns for everybody. Even if you're in an LLC, and you can certainly title the property in an LLC or some type of commercial entity or corporate entity, However, and I've seen packages where we've got different kinds of LLCs under one umbrella, which is a larger LLC. So again, it becomes a global underwrite, and all that has to be packaged so that there's an understanding, there's a methodology, so that when the underwriters are looking at this, it all connects. And believe me, when you have multiple LLCs trying to purchase something, sometimes it just doesn't all connect. I've even had some borrowers tell me that I have found that they've just tax liens against them personally, and they're telling me, well, that's against me. It's not the LLC, so you can ignore that. And these are borrowers telling me I can ignore it. Well, I'm telling them right now, you can't ignore it. And as soon as anybody breathes the issue of a tax lien, the lender is going to step aside and say, hey, until this is satisfied, we're not moving forward. Again, we're not in the heyday anymore. Everything's looking at these things very carefully. If you have leases on there, we need copies of all the leases, tax assessments, photographs, of course, aerial views. MAI appraisals, which is typical for commercial properties, would have phase one environmentals. A portion of that appraisal will have an environmental study and must be performed by a registered environmental assessor. And, most people don't know that. Most people, they think that, okay, an appraisal is an appraisal and an appraisal. It's not. When you come up with land, and when you're going to purchase land or refinance it, or if you're going after a large commercial property, these are very expensive appraisals, typically $2,500 to all the way up to, I've seen, $7,500 for an appraisal. And they don't put these together in a day or two. It takes weeks. And then the last thing I wanted to mention, is if you're going after land financing, we talked about this earlier, not on the blog here, but in the article that I wrote, seller financing is always a great option. It's actually a number one option that you can capture a way of capitalizing your venture by going after the sellers and say, look, do you need your money right away? Would you be willing to hold a note for a year or two? And then, again, why somebody would want to use me is that I can help posture the borrowers in front of the sellers with documents and a loan package that makes the sellers feel comfortable with, like, hey, these people got it together. They've got good documentation, they've got good assets and good income. We don't need the money right away, and they can earn some interest on the money that they're lending. So it becomes real favorable sometimes to the sellers to hold a note on the property. So that's another reason why somebody would want to hire me to help them put together a due diligence package, if you will, so that the sellers would say, hey, these are good folks. Back in the heyday, again, when we were looking at multiple contracts on homes, you'd have an open house on a Sunday and there'd be seven contracts on a house. Well, what was happening is the buyers were actually writing letters to put on top of their offer describing who they were and why the seller should sell them the house. Well, a lot of that is very good information. It's proactive, because I've seen people capture homes like that because the sellers read the letter and said, hey, we like these folks. We don't mind selling these people my house. And so a lot of that comes into play when you're going after seller financing, asking them, is you want to get with them and make them feel like they're going to be comfortable enough with working with you, selling you the property, and then comfortable enough to financing it for you for a year or two. But again, they're going to want some type of exit strategy as well. So.
Perfect. Now we're running out of time. We've almost exhausted our 30 minutes today. It's amazing how time flies with such interesting information. I wanted to let everybody know, as the listeners, that Joe was a guest columnist for my monthly newsletter, and so I'll give you my website address later if you want to go to that. It's the April 2009 issue, where he wrote a great article talking about financing, complementing what we're talking about today. So let's kind of summarize a couple of key points here, Joe. Obviously we're in a new lending environment, and in talking with you, you seem to kind of leading the pack in kind of an emerging category in the lending industry. Would that be a good way to assess where you're at today with your business?
Well, I have not yet turned around to see who's following me, so I don't know about this leading of the pack thing. All I know is that I've been there where people do things by default, I guess. I've been in situations where the package was not presented to, even to us. I mean, I'm an underwriter for two small investors as well, and I've seen loan officers give me information that was not packaged properly, which led me to believe that, you know, there's an opportunity out there to make people look better on paper so they're when they're applying for large sums of money. So if I'm leading the pack, then maybe that would be a good thing. But all I know is that I want to make sure that what I do is correct because I want to succeed. I want to make sure that everybody's happy. And so, yeah, that's just how I operate.
I understand. Okay, well, we're unfortunately running out of time. So in closing, why don't you tell us how best to contact you if someone would like to talk with you further?
Certainly. I operate as Fair Market Funding. That's fairmarketfunding.com is the website. If you want to email me, it's info or Joe, doesn't matter, info at fairmarketfunding or Joe at fairmarketfunding.com. My phone number direct is 703-879-1828. That's 703-879-1828. I'm in Alexandria, Virginia, just right across the river from Washington, D.C. And I'm here and I'm having fun. I'm just looking forward to helping others that I can help. And, again, thanks for the opportunity to talk with you today, Russell. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. It was great having you. I think, you know, lastly, I'd like to comment that Joe is very passionate about networking. And if you have that deal in South Carolina, but he's in Virginia, Joe is going to track someone down somehow in his unique Joe way to find someone in South Carolina who would loan that money to another South Carolinian or Linian or however that goes. But that's where how Joe and I met because we both were, he saw me on a website and we began to talk and he made some initiative. And so here we are today through his networking. So Joe is going to get the job done for you, and that is the bottom line. If you need someone who has cutting-edge information about the lending environment and how to package loans, whether it be small or large, Joe is the man to contact. And he would say, well, you can contact other people like me, but, Joe, I haven't found any other people like you. So, but I think there will be other people who will get on board with you. But I remember, Joe is an independent real estate financing consultant, and that is going to be an emerging category that eventually he'll be writing that article for Forbes about. How about that?
Sounds good.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for joining. I'm going to go ahead and let Joe hang up. And, Joe, again, thanks for keeping in touch. Let us know how things go. I'll probably have Joe come back and write some more for one of my newsletters down the road. But if for some reason you've lost track of his contact information, it's 703-879-1828. He's in Alexandria, Virginia, and it's fairmarketfunding.com. Joe, thanks for your time. We'll talk to you soon.
You bet, Russell. Goodbye, everybody.
All right. Joe, thanks so much for being with me today, and I wish you much continued success with your business. And I hope you enjoyed your interview, and he knows about financing for your next real estate project. Well, let's change tracks for a moment as I ask you to walk down a different path with me. And I'm thinking about a rural area of the country, and stop and think about a rural area of the country that you have visited in the past, and just take a moment and picture it in your mind. You know, capture its beautiful sights and smells and tastes, you know, that every time you go, you have those great unique experiences. You know, being from Florida, my family spent many vacations in the mountains of North Carolina. You know, there's something peaceful and serene about visiting rural destinations. Are you starting to grasp why so many folks want to retire to rural areas? In fact, millions and millions hope to relocate to the country in the next few years. In fact, maybe you're one of them. Now, it's a fact that rural land is in demand like never before. And so before you leave the broadcast today, I want you to glean two key facts about land. One, It is my contention that land is by far the simplest and easiest form of real estate on the planet to work with. And two, if you're not already involved in land, this is a great opportunity for you to develop the competitive edge you've been looking for in real estate. Come join me, as there's not enough land investors to meet the current and upcoming demand for land. In a past webcast, I described how the media is communicating a positive message about land. Here's one example. Investors Business Daily reports on their website, "Becoming a land baron was once considered the domain of billionaires. Isn't that the truth? But land has gotten more affordable for smaller players to invest in as prices have dropped in tandem with the housing market." And so they're talking about how investors are finding deep discounted deals, which I 100% agree with. But here's the kicker in their article. There is a really attractive market emerging for the small investor. Land is now becoming, more and more people are becoming involved in land as a smaller investor, and you need to be a part of that. In fact, the media continues to validate the need and demand for land. I will say it again. The media is affirming more investors are needed to get involved in land, as land right now, in my opinion, is the most lucrative market in all of real estate. This is where my Turnkey program comes into play. I am the only real estate trainer talking about rural land and how to make deals on property at 20 to 50 cents on the dollar. Incredible deals just affirmed by the Investors Business Daily about how to find deals that are 20 to 50 cents on the dollar. I just got an email from an investor just a couple of days ago, and he has an opportunity for a 7-acre piece that is right now zoned residential, but it can be has the in the comprehensive plan to be rezoned to commercial. And the investor has been able to write a contract for $200,000, and a brand new hospital and a convention center are going to be in the process of being erected right next to this piece of land. And its future potential value is between $1 and $2 million. So if you're gonna eventually sell that piece of land, 7 acres, for $1 million, yet he's gonna buy it for $200,000, that's 20 cents on the dollar. Isn't that amazing? But there's more and more deals like that in the marketplace. And my turnkey program, the Vacant Land Guide, addresses how to find sellers who are willing to sell at such a low price. We are in an economy where, of course, the stock market has just dropped off for everybody. And so those that are retired, they own a piece of land, and now they need more funds for retirement. And some of them want to cash out quickly, and they're willing to take low offers on their property, whether it be 1 acre, 5 acres, 100 acres, or 1,000 acres. There's a lot of opportunities out there. But what's really interesting right now is I have one of the few real estate programs that is actually relevant for the current economic times. And that's why I had Joe on today, because the way he understands the current lending environment, and he's the man to go to if you want to understand how to acquire either a bank loan or a non-traditional loan for your piece of land. I, too, have a unique skill set that also addresses that something that's happening in our current economy. People are wanting to buy land. And so why are people interested in buying land right now? Well, because of the stock market. The stock market has had just a horrible decline in the last 6 months to a year. And so people are looking to try to find places to house their money either on a short-term or a long-term basis. And right now, two outlets are coming into play, precious metals like gold and land. And so when it comes to land, it doesn't necessarily have to be income-producing like farmland or timberland. Many investors, whether they be small or large with their pocketbooks, are buying land in all shapes, sizes, and types. In fact, I was at a wedding, it was about a year ago, and I sat next to a retiring, I believe he was an Army, he was a retiring Major General. And we got to talking and we exchanged our occupations, and he was giddy when he found out that I was a land investor, and I was like, well, what are you talking about? And so he was talking about how he bought 300 acres within a 45-minute drive of Valdosta, Georgia. And he was so excited about that purchase because he was retiring, and his plan was to live on 50 acres and then over the next 10 or 20 years subdivide the other 250 acres and maybe 50-acre lots, so to speak, if you can call that a lot, or parcels, actually, and sell those off for some of his retirement funds. But he got the deal through some unusual channels where the family had inherited it, and they just wanted to sell it off. They weren't interested in getting top dollar for it. And there's more and more of these types of opportunities, but there's more and more buyers emerging who would be called the smaller investor, who wants to buy these types of pieces of land. But we may very well be at a time where we're going to have more buyers than sellers in this form of real estate. And so how would you like to be a part of that? And I have the only program that speaks to this demand, because rural real estate is what people want to buy in this economy. And why don't you take a guess how many acres there are available to be bought and sold in the United States today? Take a moment and think about that. You think it's 1 million acres? You think it's 5 million acres? Do you think it's 500 million acres? Well, actually, the answer is 1.6 billion acres that can be bought and sold in the United States today. Isn't that an astounding fact? And that means that there's so many, many, many opportunities for land to be bought and sold in all different shapes, sizes, and types. People are buying hunting land. People are buying recreation land. People are buying land for hobby farms. Institutional and smaller investors are buying farmland. They're buying timberland. They're buying waterfront land. They're buying just rural pasture land. There's just so many different types of land in demand all at the same time. And in years past, the only land was in demand in just small pockets here and there, maybe near a lake or near a tourist destination. But now land is emerging as the number one in-demand form of real estate, and mostly because of how the stock market has done poorly, again, in the last six to eight months. And what's interesting is I have a lot of people say, are people really wanting to move to rural areas? You know, in the old days, when you went on your vacation to a rural destination, you were hesitant that because you'd be an hour away from any gas, amenities, or supplies, that a lot of the rural areas were just not open in general to most vacationers. Now what is happening is that Walmart now has changed their strategy, and they're building most of their super centers in rural destination cities now. And what they're doing is they're sensing this trend, and they believe with me that there's going to be millions of baby boomers who, when they retire, they're going to cash out of their house and they're going to move to a rural destination, whether they're going to live in a mobile home or whether they're going to live in, you know, a gorgeous palatial estate of some sort. But they're willing to buy an acre, 5 acres, 10 acres, hundreds of acres, thousands of acres, and they have the financial means to be able to do that. And Walmart is accommodating them by opening some of their super centers to make more rural land accessible than ever before with amenities and supplies. So I teach how to secure deals for 20 to 50 cents on the dollar in prime locations with no money down contracts. Can you believe that? So you don't have to worry about your credit coming into play or using your own funds to do land deals if you don't want to. Because I teach how to be a wholesaler, A wholesaler is someone that connects buyers and sellers. And so I'm the one that's willing to go out and do the farming and find the great deals with these sellers, with the landowners, and then I connect them with buyers. And one bit of information that most people don't realize, if you go to a typical county anywhere in the United States, a typical county has 500,000 acres. So there's a lot of opportunities to be done. When I was when I first started, I did 600 land deals totaling $9 million. And guess what? I did those land deals in three separate counties. I did not do my land deals all over the country. I did them in three separate counties in one state. Isn't that amazing? And that's what's going to start emerging in this economy. More and more people want to buy. They want to buy for investment. They want to buy to live on, and they want to buy to retire on. And it's all happening all at the same time. Excuse me. If you're interested in learning more about what I do, please visit my website at www.vacantlandguide.com and get involved in this little-known opportunity. The next real estate millionaires will emerge because of vacant land. Now, if you normally I list my vacant land guide, the retail price is $14.95. But I have a website special that you can purchase the vacant land guide for $9.95. And purchase the vacant land guide, it comes with these bonuses. You get a CD-ROM with all land contracts and forms, that everything you will need to do your land transactions. You'll also get as a free bonus a second manual that goes into case studies, articles, and sample forms and contracts, all about land, nothing else. I don't talk about the housing market. I don't talk about the commercial market where, like, are your apartments or self-storage. It's all about land. And then also I include a free lifetime subscription to my Vacant Land Guide newsletter, where I talk about a lot of the cutting-edge information about what's happening in this emerging form of real estate that is going to be potentially very, very lucrative. In fact, as an aside, I believe I've written an article that we're on the very edge, the cusp of the greatest land rush in United States history. And because of that, there's going to be a convergence upon land that we've never seen before in the history of the United States. It's happening now, and there's not enough people involved. So for $9.95, you get a 265-page manual, an 85-page bonus manual. You get a CD-ROM of contracts and forms. You get a free subscription to my Vacant Land Guide newsletter, but I also provide 4 hours of free phone support. Whether you want to email me or talk to me by phone, I'll also throw that in for free. And then on top of that, if we do a land deal together, I issue a coupon at the time of your purchase of the Vacant Land Guide. And at that time of purchase, you'll receive that coupon, and that coupon, if we do a land deal together, states that we'll refund you the entire amount of the Vacant Land Guide. We'd love to do that. We want to do land deals with you together. So please visit my website to learn more details, or you can call me direct on my toll-free number at 1-877-8 Vacant, V-A-C-A-N-T, 1-877-882-2268. If you order direct, if you go to the website, you pay $14.95. If you order it direct from me, you get it for $9.95. So I'm so excited that you've listened in today. Now remember, land is by far the simplest and easiest form of real estate on the planet to work with. All my deals I've ever been a part of, as is condition, no hidden costs. I think you need to be a part of that. If you're not already involved in land, this is a great opportunity for you to develop the competitive edge you've been looking for in real estate. Stop being a part of all the uncertainties of the housing market. and come join me in pursuing land. Don't put off the decision any longer and join the ranks of those who know vacant land and make your personal and financial dreams and goals come true. If you went to a typical bookstore, a Books A Million or Barnes & Noble, and you were looking for a book on land, you would not find one. That's how valuable my turnkey program is. But it's based on current market conditions. It's not based on market conditions of the past. It's based on what is happening now in our economy. And land is the place to be in this economy. Lastly, I want to thank www.landthink.com for sponsoring this webcast. Landthink.com is a great website for those who want to learn more about land. They're a great educational site, and they have a sister site, www.landflip.com, that also has opportunities for you to buy and sell your land. Visit them today. Now, thank you for listening. Join me next month as I interview another professional who services land. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great day.